Amen. Conversations. When they're short and to the point, we better be paying attention. Amen? And when they're long, it's because something very important is taking place. And we better focus also as to what is being said. In the story that we will be studying this morning, Jesus spoke in a very short and concise way. But it was enough to make a difference in the life of one man. Those few words probably took seconds to say it. But it was enough to change his life forever. In this story, we will also see Jesus taking time to explain something very important to him. How to keep the Sabbath. And so as we study John chapter 5, we're going to be praying that God will speak to each one of our hearts. If you have your Bibles, please open it to John chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And this name, Bethesda, means house of the faithful one, or house of a faithful one. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first entered the pool was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. I don't know if you take for granted the ability to walk. My father-in-law is 90 years old. And at 90 years old, you can imagine some parts of your body don't work as well anymore. In his case, it's his knees. And I've seen him little by little, you know, those knees just deteriorate and the wear and tear. And to the point where he can only now move in a wheelchair. And imagine an active man who was very independent. And to come to the point where you can basically only sit and watch what the rest of the people are doing. It's pretty hard. But in today's story, we have a man who had been in this situation for how many years? 38 years. 38 years without being able to move. And he had heard that there was this spa-like place, maybe with some water therapy, that was bringing healing to those who got in there for the first time. And he thought, if I could only go there, I'm sure maybe I can find a cure for my knees, for my legs, so that I'll be able to walk again. The Bible doesn't tell us his name. It doesn't even tell us where he was from. It only tells us that he was there at this pool when Jesus, on a Sabbath day, came walking in. Scripture tells us that he was by himself, basically. His disciples were not around. Maybe Jesus was on his way to the synagogue, and he was, you know, getting through. And as he was walking by this place, he saw all these people gathered in this other house of, you could say, healing. A house where They were hoping to find a cure for their disease. And as Jesus entered this place, he had compassion. He had compassion. I'm sure there were many things he could have done on that very moment. But he stopped and had compassion. And specifically, he had compassion on this one man who had been in this situation for 38 years. Verse 6 tells us, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" In other words, do you want to be well? And I can see the eyes of this man who's lying down, literally, probably on his side, sometimes on his back, maybe just changing position because that's the only way he can stay comfortable, on this rug that was his bed, and maybe had a covering for the night when it got cold. He saw this man basically stooping over him, looking down as if, "Do you want to be made well?" And all of a sudden, hope was sparked into his heart again. "Sir, you want to help me? I need help." You see, the only way they could get healed, according to what Scripture tells us, was if they got into the water when the waters were moving. That was the way they would get healed. Spirit of Prophecy tells us that hundreds of people were there. And sometimes they would trample upon each other to get there first into the water. And the man, the impotent man, answered him, "Sir, I have no man. I have no one to bring me into the pool when the water is troubled. And while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Do you think, I'm thinking here, you can help me move faster into that place? But maybe again the thought came back, the waters have been pretty calm for the past few days. They haven't moved in a while. I wonder if this man's going to have the patience just to wait till that happens. He's probably going to give up like so many others have given up on me. They've come, they brought me to this place, but after waiting for such a long time and nothing was happening, they decided they needed to go back home and take care of other things. But Jesus had another plan. Amen? And we can praise God that he always has a plan. For the most difficult of situations, God has a plan. What seems impossible for us men and women, the Bible tells us, for God, all things are possible. And Jesus didn't introduce himself, "Hi, I am Jesus the Messiah. You've probably heard of me." No. He just said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Rise. I don't know how Jesus said it. Maybe it's just with the rise. Encouraged him. Rise. Get up. And immediately the man was made well. And he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Wow. No water. It was a man who healed him. And I can imagine him just getting up and going, wow, I haven't done this in 38 years. And I can imagine him going like, whoa, he told me to pick up this. I'm picking it up. Wow, this is an experience that I haven't had in 38 years. And let me try this. Wow, I can walk. And I can see him turning around. Look at me. I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, where is the man who healed me? Where is he? Scripture tells us that he just slipped away. Jesus just walked away. And he's walking, I imagine, where is he? Where is this man who made me well? The Pharisees, religious leaders, were there too. And they saw this man who was really excited. I can imagine them even skipping a little bit. Hey, what are you doing taking that bed? Picking it up on the Sabbath day. They were not nice to this man. They frowned on him because he was doing something that was unlawful on the Sabbath. Does this Bible say anything about not picking up your bed on the Sabbath day? It doesn't say anything about that. But that was one of many rules that they had made up to protect the Sabbath. And the only answer that he was able to give them, we find in verse 11. He that made me whole, he who made me well, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. I don't know if this is unlawful, but the one who healed me, that's the one I want to honor. And he told me to pick up my bed and to walk. Of course, these religious leaders were not happy. So they asked him, so who is this man who healed you? But he couldn't tell them. He couldn't remember who it was. The story continues on in verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him where? In the temple. And why do you think he was there in the temple? He was bringing a sacrifice, most likely. And the adults are studying the sanctuary, and you will see in this week's lesson the idea of a sin sacrifice. But I also want to think that he was bringing a thank offering. Amen? Was just thankful to God. God, thank you for healing me. I'm bringing this offering just out of gratitude for what you've done to me. And that day, Jesus was there too. He was there at the temple. And Jesus told him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What was Jesus saying here, brothers and sisters? Maybe the cause of his infirmity was something that he had caused himself. His wild lifestyle had caused this in him. But Jesus was telling him now that you've been made well, sin no more. The man departed, tells us verse 15, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And I want to think that he was doing this with all of best intentions. You know who saved me? You know who healed me? It was Jesus. Hey, you know why I can walk? It was Jesus. You know why I'm different now? It was Jesus. And he was just telling everybody, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus can probably do that for you too. I was paralyzed. I was lying on the ground when he found me. I was in this place surrounded by sick people. And he saw me. And he knew I had been there for a long time. And he knew I longed to be made well. And he came and he picked me up. He healed me. He told me to get up. And so the Pharisees thought, we know this man. He's a troublemaker here in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Jesus, we'll take care of him. And we find what they asked Jesus. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, verse 15. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on what day? The Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them. And I like Jesus' answer. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What Jesus was saying is, I do what my Father does. That's what I do on the Sabbath, what he does. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him even more so, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What does God do? Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus, on the Sabbath day, probably going to the synagogue, sees a man lying down, flat on his side or on his back. And he had compassion. He loved Is that okay to do on Sabbath, brothers and sisters? Amen. God wants to see us loving others, loving one another, having compassion toward each other. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father gives life. And Jesus was giving what? He was giving this man his life again. In fact, he wasn't only giving him the ability to walk, but he was giving him the ability to, again, have dignity. He received his dignity again. And I think more important than anything, he received forgiveness of sin. Amen? He received forgiveness of sin. The Sabbath day is a day of healing. Amen? Where relationships can be healed. Where life can be experienced anew. Where once again, I think we come to the notion of what is important in life. When the trials and tribulations of this world don't matter as long as Jesus is with us. And that changed radically for this man. Yeah, he encountered some trouble after experiencing such a great miracle. And most likely he would experience more trials as he continued to share what Jesus had done for him. From family members, from friends, from religious leaders, from people in the community. But that didn't matter. He had newness of life that he had received from Jesus. And I want to think that on the Sabbath day, we also can experience and rejoice in that newness of life. Amen? That's what the Sabbath is about. Sharing what God has done for us. We all face trials and tribulations, yes? We can praise God and say, I had this happen to me this week, but I praise God that he got me through it. And I can imagine this man saying, I was crippled for 38 years, but look at me, I can walk. And if God did this for me, I'm sure he can do something similar for you too. And the last verse, verse 21, I'm sorry, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, for this reason, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. The Sabbath is a day to honor the Son. Amen? And you might ask yourself the question, how do you honor God? How do you honor the Son? I want to go back to this crippled man. How did he honor Jesus? How did he honor Jesus? Was it just by his words? Jesus healed me. Or can we say that he honored Jesus by his actions? What did he do? He simply picked up his bed and walked. This crippled man was obedient. And even though the Pharisees around him were saying, you are doing something unlawful on the Sabbath, he stood up to them and said, the man who healed me, I don't know his name, but the man who healed me, he told me to do this. And this is why I do it. He told me, pick up your bed and walk. He was willing to honor Jesus, to obey him, no matter what people around him were saying. Can we do that too, brothers and sisters, on the Sabbath day? In all that we do, can we honor Jesus? Can we honor him? Hasn't he come into our life and made us whole? Talk about a broken world. Do we live in a broken world? Broken finances? Broken relationships? Broken communities, pain, suffering, everywhere you look. How many of you like to travel? I like to travel. And I've been to some very beautiful places on planet Earth. Have you heard of the Swiss Alps, the Austrian Alps? Beautiful. But when I was there, I found broken people. With pains, with experiences that have marked them. But I also found people who had been healed by the grace of God. Amen? And who could rejoice in the hope of a new life. And who were willing to stand up and honor Jesus no matter what people around them were saying. And that's the type of healing, brothers and sisters, that I think can happen on the Sabbath day. Amen? Because the Sabbath is a day of healing. Sister White shares this passage with us. Through the same faith, we may receive spiritual healing. Isn't that something we all need? I need it. By sin, we have been severed from the life of God. Our souls are palsied. They're crippled. Of ourselves, we are no more capable of living a holy life than was the impotent man capable of walking. There are many who realize their helplessness and who long for that spiritual life which will bring them into harmony with God. They are vainly striving to obtain it. In despair, they cry, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Let these desponding, struggling ones look up. The Savior is bending over the purchase of his blood, saying with inexpressible tenderness and pity, "Will thou be made whole?" He bids you rise in health and peace. Do not wait to feel that you are made whole. He bids you arise in health. I'm sorry. Believe his word and it will be fulfilled. Put your will on the side of Christ. Will to serve him. And in acting upon his word, you will receive strength. Whatever may be the evil practice, the master passion, which through long indulgence binds both soul and body, Christ is able and longs to deliver. He will impart life to the soul that is dead in trespasses. He will set free the captive that is held by weakness and misfortune and the chains of sin. Can Jesus deliver us, brothers and sisters? He can deliver us. He can deliver us from anything, even those things we think impossible. I can't stop doing that. I can't. It's just who I am. It's hard. I've been doing this for so many years. I know it's bad. I know it's wrong. Yeah, you could say I'm addicted to it. But God has the power to deliver us from all that. Amen? He's able to restore us, to heal us, to give us the peace that we long for, that we need to walk, that we need to serve, that we need to love, that we need to honor the Son, because he has healed us, he has saved us, he has redeemed us. And the only thing that he asks is that we honor him. Amen? That we love him. That we serve him. Do we have an awesome God, brothers and sisters? An awesome God. And on the Sabbath day, we get to share that. Okay? So those are the things that I learned as I studied this passage of this crippled man. God loved. We are to love too. God gave life, we are to share the life that God has given us with others. God honored his Son. We are to honor him as well. And as we go about this day, may we share the great things that he has done for each one of us. Amen.